Amen. Well, as you can tell, I'm rip-raring to go today. I am so excited and so grateful. What a year this past year has been for us at KBC, huh? I chose this title, Oh, the Places We'll Go, kind of as a play on Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go, because of where we're coming from, but where we're going, more importantly. Where we're going as a church family, the places that we will go will blow our minds, will not even be able to comprehend. There was a lot of uncertainty here for a long time, right? I heard the words stagnation. I heard the words suffocation. I heard the words decrease. I heard the words unsure. And then COVID did a number on KBC, like it did on so many churches. Even I, before Pastor Robert left, faced some uncertainty. I didn't know why God brought me here. I knew he'd show me, and I kept doing what he told me to do, but I had no idea that this was his plan. But I faced that same uncertainty that you did. Dr. Seuss says, when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. I'm happy to say that you unslumped yourself, KBC. We came to a crossroads of sorts. We had to choose as a church family if we were going to dig in our heels and do the work that we needed to do to survive and to do what God was telling us to do, or to throw in the towel. So many churches that faced that crossroads threw in the towel over the last 4 years. So many. It's been a trend even before COVID. Over the last 5 or 6 years, really, more churches are closing than are opening in America. In 2019, 3,000 churches opened, but 4,500 of them closed. And that was pre-COVID. COVID accelerated everything, and as we look around our country, we see the decline in not only Bible-believing and Bible-teaching churches, but a sharp decline in morals and traditional values. Dr. Seuss says, you will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. But mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose, but how much can you win? We decided as a church family that we were going to dig in. And we were going to win. We were going to focus on King Jesus, work together to keep our church moving, healthy, and to use our gifts, talents, and passions to help grow the kingdom of God through our church. And through this year, the evidence proves that we are well on our way. Dr. Seuss says, congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to the great places. You're off and away. I think we did exactly what it says in Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer. You see, we stayed firm in our faith. We didn't give in and we waited on the Lord. What does it say in Isaiah 43:1? Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They should not run and be weary. They shall not walk and be faint. Our strength has been renewed, and we are running and not growing weary. We are strong in the Lord and stronger together. Amen? Over the past year, we've seen at least a 40% growth in attendance. Our Facebook page has doubled in reach, and through social media, off social media, we are reaching approximately 6,000 people per month. Our YouTube channel has quadrupled over the last 6 months. We are now at 119 subscribers, and our services and sermons are literally being played all over the world. Cool little fact, I send my message every week to the pastors that I work with in Africa, and they share it with their churches, and then their people share it with their people, and it is flowing literally all throughout the world, the work that God is doing here. Our events and outreaches are blessing our community, bringing in new faces and families for every single event. Our fellowship feast and some of our outreaches actually have more attendance than our church attendance did last year. That's really awesome. Our two buy nothing sales literally brought hundreds of people to our church and through our doors as we were able to bless folks, meet people where they're at for their practical needs and the things that they wanted at no cost. We are able to make an impact on our community simply by opening our doors and our hearts. Just yesterday, we had 39 men here for our men's breakfast. We had new faces there too, including one of our neighbors. He lives right down the street. His name's Dave. I said, "Dave, how'd you hear about this?" He goes, "Oh, I saw it on Facebook. I didn't have breakfast yet, so I figured I'd come on down." And how cool is this? He sat at the table with the Greens, and he had a fishing shirt on. Dave's a fisherman. The Greens like to fish. And they were like, "Oh, God put them right together." They made a connection. They built a bridge right away. How cool is that? Church, we are on our way to where God is telling us to go. Our ministry is growing, the word of God is being preached and lived out, and we are lifting our praises to King Jesus. Something I always try to remind you, King Jesus said in John 12:32, "But when I am lifted up in the earth, I will draw men to myself." We do our job by lifting him up. He will do his job by bringing people to him through us. We do our part, he does his. Our job is to lift up King Jesus, to pursue a meaningful relationship with Yahweh, to heed the guidance and direction of Holy Spirit. We are to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to praying. That is our job. When we do that, our Lord will continue to move and to bless us exceedingly and abundantly, more than we can ever think or imagine. Dr. Seuss says, "You're off to a great place. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way." King Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you." Get on your way. God has so many good plans for us. And I truly believe that we haven't seen anything yet. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that KBC will be part of the revival that is birthed in Western New York. I believe that we will see this church full. I believe that we will go to multiple services. And I believe that we will purposely and intentionally grow the kingdom of God and do our part to help spread the gospel and bring his children home. Today's focus for Advent is hope. And I know that our future is full of hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." I am so excited about what's happening here at KBC. Truly humbled that my Jesus saw fit to make me your pastor. I'm so blessed, so grateful, and I cannot wait to see what the Lord has in store for us. Can you? Huh? Let's get into today's text, shall we? I love this passage, Acts 2:42. This is right after the birth of the church. The modern church as we know it. Holy Spirit came down. 3,000 people were saved. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. Devoted here also can be interpreted as continued steadfastly. Luke used a Greek verb here that means a steadfast and single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. There was no departure in their mind and in their hearts from the apostles' teaching because it was the truth and it was the power of the word of God. They relied on the apostles to communicate to them who King Jesus was and what he had done. They trusted in Jesus and they wanted and needed to know more. They devoted themselves to knowing more and they devoted themselves to fellowship. Oh boy, we're good at this one, aren't we? We are good at fellowship. The ancient Greek word that we talk about all the time, koinonia, translated here as fellowship, has the idea of association, communion, fellowship, and participation. It means to share in something. It doesn't mean just to hang out. We share in it. The Christian life is meant to be full of fellowship, sharing with one another. We're meant to do life together. That's one of my mantras. I say it all the time. We're meant to do life together. We share the same Lord in King Jesus. We share the same guide for life in the Holy Spirit. We share the same love for the Lord Almighty. We share the same desire to worship Him. We share the same struggles. We share the same victories. We share the same job of living for Him, and we share the joy of communicating the gospel to those who need to hear it. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. Formally, this was taking communion together. This was honoring the sacrifice of King Jesus through the Blessed Sacrament of Communion, which we get to do today. The founding members of the body of Christ were devoted to it. Even living so close to the time where Jesus was crucified, they still never wanted to forget what he did on that cross. How much more important is it for us, 2,000 years later, to never forget? And I believe we can and should look at this informally as well. When we sit down and share a meal together, we build relationships. We let down our walls. We enjoy each other's presence and take tangible steps in building up the church, capital C, in the building of the kingdom of God. That's one of the reasons I love our fellowship feasts and our fellowship hours and our breakfasts. We are breaking bread together. We're building relationships. We're doing something tangible that will build up the kingdom. And they were devoted to prayer. Remember, last week, the Apostle Paul wrote that we need to be praying continuously. Whenever God's work is done, God's people gather for prayer and worship. Everything else we read about the power and the glory of the early church flows from the foundation in this passage. The word, fellowship, remembrance of King Jesus' work on the cross, breaking bread together, and prayer. If this is how the church was built, this is how this church should be built. Amen? Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Awe coming upon every soul was the evidence of the power of God. One of the greatest, most powerful works Yahweh can do is change the human heart to have a reverent honor for the Lord. Look at somebody who has a reverent honor for the Lord and put them next to somebody who's of the world and wants nothing to do with it. It takes an act of God to move somebody's heart from this sinful nature that we are born into to awe and reverence for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is evidence of the power of God. Signs and wonders being done are evidence of the power of God. Where Yahweh is at work, He will touch lives in miraculous ways every day, every time. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, listen. I am not telling you that you need to become homeless, nomad, Jesus freaks. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. You don't have to be a Jesus hippie. You can if you want to be. Actually, working at the mission, I came across quite a few Jesus hippies. They literally wanted to be that nomad, and they went from shelter to shelter all across the country just pursuing Jesus through the broken world. Remarkable. It takes a lot. I'm not telling you need to do that. This isn't a wonky social experiment that mixes Jesus with communism, okay? The early church did this for two reasons. Number one, they wanted to. This was a willful and voluntary act. They wanted to help each other. They wanted to love on each other. But number two, they had to. Let's think of the logistics of this. The church in Jerusalem was in continual need of financial support from others because of how fast it grew. With an influx of more than 3,000 believers, most of whom stayed in Jerusalem, they didn't have jobs. They didn't have homes. They didn't have an economic structure and a social services environment where they could go get help. They had each other. They had the family of God. They had the family of Christians that had to share if they wanted to survive. So they did it willingly and joyfully. Their devotion to King Jesus was so much more important than their possessions and the life that they left behind. Jesus is king. Doesn't matter what I face. And remember, the Jews at the time, and still today, have a tremendous custom of hospitality, especially during major feasts like Pentecost and Passover. Visitors were received into private homes, and no one can charge for giving a bed or a room to a visitor or for supplying their basic needs. The Christians took tremendous feasttime hospitality and made it an everyday thing. It became their culture to take care of one another. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The church, capital C, the ecclesia, the entire body of Christ, is meant to worship God and learn His word together. Yet it is meant to do more. God wants us to share our lives with one another. We are better together. We are meant to do life together. Praising God and having favor with all the people. I love this. The founding members of the modern church gave us a tremendous example to follow. Their Christian experience was daily, joyful, and simple. They loved God, they loved people, and they gave all they had. They gave their best for His glory and not for their own. Because of it, the Lord added to their numbers day by day. This is God's prescription for church growth. If we take care to follow the example of the early church, God will take care of growing the church Himself. If we devote ourselves to lifting up King Jesus, to gather together in fellowship and worship to God in the breaking of bread and to prayer, the Lord will add to our numbers every day as well. This is how God works. This is how the body of Christ grows. And let me close with this. As you all know, Gia's twin sister recently moved here and is living with us. We are meant to do life together has been one of my mantras for a long time, and now I actually get to live it. We're meant to do life together. But through this, this is how God showed me that He's doing something very special here. I didn't tell them I was doing this either. I'm just putting you on the spot. Gia and Anave have never been involved in church before. Their childhood, they didn't grow up in church. The growing up, they knew nothing about who God really was. And due to the challenges that they faced, they didn't even know what a true family was or acted like or looked like. The way Gia has responded to you, KBC, is nothing short of remarkable. In the church settings we were prior to coming to KBC, Gia was reserved. She didn't feel comfortable interacting much. She didn't do anything above attending because she didn't want to. She didn't feel comfortable. And to see her here as your first lady, baking cookies, opening doors, giving hugs, visiting, making phone calls, and loving on you and receiving your love, that is such a definitive confirmation that we are where God wants us to be. That is a definitive confirmation that we as a church are doing what He calls us to do. And last week was Anave's first Sunday with us. She has a bit more history with organized religion in her adult life, but it wasn't healthy. It wasn't biblical. So she also has been very hesitant to invest in any kind of church because she didn't feel comfortable. Since these girls were radically saved back in 2018, they have zero tolerance for things that aren't of the Lord. Last week, after service, I noticed that Anabe was crying, happy tears. She already wants to be a part of our family because of the love that she felt and received. She already wants to volunteer with the kids. She already wants to be a member, which is why she's becoming a member today. Gia and Anave are living, breathing examples of how God is working among us. And it's so exciting. So church, we must stay the course. We must continue to devote ourselves to our Savior, to the work of the kingdom, and to each other. We have come so far this past year, but I promise, we are just getting started. And what God will do among us is far more than we could ever, ever imagine. Dr. Seuss says, "So be sure when you step. Step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. And will you succeed? Yes. Yes, you will. 98 3/4% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains." Church, with our faith and our unity and our fellowship, we will move mountains. We will build the kingdom of God together. Amen.